Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937, now with more than 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. Online at joneswalker.com. And by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, with information about health care reform tax credits, health insurance options, a checklist, and answers to frequently asked questions at bcbsla.com/reform. Additional support provided by Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank and Resource Management, LLC.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricciuti. Peter Ricciuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricciuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. There's been a big energy debate in the country over the last few years. It swung from believing our future lies only in the discovery of oil to believing that fossil fuel is unsustainable and our future depends on alternative energy sources. The current thinking is that we need to be somewhere in the middle, drilling for oil and encouraging alternatives. With so much of the country's oil production coming from the Louisiana coast and the abundance of natural resources here in New Orleans, we're in a good position to cover both bases. And that's what my guests are doing on Out to Lunch today. Todd Hornbeck is chairman, president, and CEO of Hornbeck Offshore Services, a company that provides a wide range of seagoing vehicles and services to the oil industry in the Gulf of Mexico and other international markets. Todd, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And my other guest is at the alternative end of the energy spectrum. Robert Suggs is the CEO of South Coast Solar, a New Orleans company that designs, builds, and installs solar energy systems for homes and businesses in states across the South. Robert, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, you're on both sides. I don't want any fighting here, but it's... But the truth of the matter is that Todd and Robert, although you're at either ends of the energy industry today, it didn't start out that way. Robert, you grew up in the oil field support business. Your folks owned and ran petroleum helicopters, and your family's been in the energy business for 65 years. What pulled you away from continuing in the traditional energy business and into solar?
Well, we sold the business back in 2001, and after that, I looked for something that I really wanted to do and I was interested in, and it just so happened that I had an opportunity with some friends of mine that started South Coast Solar to invest. And in about 2008, beginning of 2009 is when I took over as managing partner, and since then we've been growing very quickly, and sky's future.
And what attracted you to it? Is there something about the economics or where we'll be 10 years from now?
Well, frankly, it has a lot to do with the tax credits. Senator Nick Gotra, when he wrote the legislation back in 2007, created one of the best tax credits in the country, which is a 50% refundable tax credit. And with that, it basically started our industry, and we were the number two solar energy contractor in the state. And now we have over 200 contractors and over 1,000 direct jobs directly from the industry. So it's come a long way in a short period of time.
Well, now, every year, you know, when the legislature meets, people always worry. We have, for instance, we've had the film industry on the show, and they always worry they're going to get nicked. Have you remained intact?
We were up there, and we definitely took a big haircut this year. There were some concerns that the tax credits were going to cause a huge impact on the fiscal budget. And so what they did was they trimmed it back to a single tax credit per residence, which means that you can take a tax credit up to $12,500 per residence, but you're allowed to take a 30% federal tax credit, as big a system as you want to go. So if you want to maximize your investment, the idea is to maximize the $25,000 window. But you can do bigger systems. It just depends on what your goal is and what you're trying to do.
And you do bigger systems, right?
Absolutely.
I was looking at me, I think of you as housing, but you did what, Fort Polk? And
We do a lot of different military work as well. We work for the VA hospitals. We have a MATOC that's down in Florida. We do a lot of work with our SDVO, Service Disabled Veterans. So right now we're doing West Palm Beach, Florida, the VA down there, the VA in Biloxi. We're going down next week to do the VA and look to do the VA in Puerto Rico. So
wow.
We stay busy. I mean, we're not just a residential solar energy provider. We do everything from residential to commercial to government work. So
wow. Now when you guys were growing up, I don't. Did you know each other? Because you both came from the oil field support business. Did you say, like, my dad's helicopters can outfly your dad's boats or something like that?
No, I mean, we knew each other's families. I mean, it's you know, New Orleans, like anybody will tell you, is a small city. So we absolutely know who the Hornbecks are.
Now, Todd, you came from a family background in the oil and gas business, too. Your father, Larry, was the founder of the original Hornbeck Offshore Services. You came on board, if you'll pardon the nautical pun, some 22 years ago, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes over that time. But before we get to that, can you give me an idea of what an average day looks like at Hornbeck?
Well, a normal day at Hornbeck from an operational, from a seagoing standpoint, you know, our vessels are being loaded out with all different types of chemicals and weight material and pipe and everything it needs to bring offshore fuel, water. Everything
because these
rig,
are cities. Things you
these are cities yeah. that we're providing all the services to offshore to drill a well. So we're like the umbilical cord. Without us, they cannot drill a well. So we're loading cargo 24 hours a day, shipping it offshore, staying in really integral in the drilling process today because the technology has changed so much from the vessel support side. So we're actually doing a lot of chemical mixing on board. We're pumping downhole into the structure. Quite different than it was in my dad's days.
Like your dad's day, it was sort of the boats were sort of cookie cutter 180-foot vessels, but you have just stretched the imagination with your vessel. How big are these compared?
Well, we have some vessels that are in excess of 450 feet long.
Wow.
We have some PSVs or platform supply vessels that are the largest in the world at 370 feet. We also our new Hossmax vessels that we're building right now are 300 to 320 feet. We have 240 foot vessels, 200 foot vessels. In comparison, you know, our largest vessels are probably 10 times the size of the vessels they were in the 80s or 90s. And technology has just driven us further and further offshore, much deeper. Not just water depths, but much deeper structures we're drilling into, very, very high pressure wells. As the technology changed in the drilling format on the drilling rigs, our technology on how we deliver our services changed as well. So we had to adapt our vessels to be able to complement and support those drilling operations in very, very remote locations, very, very deep water, and high pressure wells. So we kind of mapped and expanded our services as the technology of drilling expanded.
Well, now, Todd, for those that aren't in the energy business, the place that most people have seen rigs and such is fishing, you know, which I love to fish. And but where I'm looking at very shallow water when I go out there. How far out are you guys? You're the other end of the world.
Well, some of our locations in the Gulf of Mexico are in excess of 200 miles offshore. One way, some of the frontier areas that we're looking at now, we're operating out of Trinidad. We've operated out of Trinidad into French Guiana because there's really no big infrastructure off of French Guiana to support a drilling campaign, and that's 6 days one way to the well site. Some of the well sites in Alaska that Shell is drilling right now are almost 10 days to the well site from the shore.
So if you forgot something, forget it.
Not only is it driving larger vessels, you know, if you're going to go a long way, bring a lot, you know. It also, the technology in drilling so deep into the Earth's crust, you know, between 35 and 36,000 total depth, after you get through the water column, takes a tremendous amount of fluids, pipe,
by the way,
supplies.
Todd, that's what, 8 miles or what is?
Miles into the Earth's crust. You know, 5,280 feet is a mile, so we can all do the math. And you know, now the drill ships and semi-submersibles are drilling, and you know, before we even get to the seafloor, up to 10,000 foot water depth. So a couple miles before we even get to the seafloor. And a lot of different water columns and currents and eddies and all loop currents in the Gulf of Mexico. So it is a very, very complicated application, and it's analogous of us going to the moon each and every day. So, and I do agree with you on your opening statements that, you know, it is hydrocarbons can't be replaced, and it is the future. I just wanted to say that for my colleague.
Oh, that's so great. I really thought we'd get some sort of wrestling thing here.
But we also have a lot of solar panels on a lot of rigs out there, too, though.
Oh, is that true?
That's true.
That's especially actually sort of a funny visual, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's and Robert, let me just ask a question I've been wanting to know. What are the economics starting to look like? Is it the cost of the cells are going down? People get very excited about where we'd be in solar 5 years from now, for instance.
I will tell you that 5 years ago, it was very expensive. We saw panel pricing that, and we call it a price per watt or a price per gallon if you want to compare it to something. Our price per watt was in the $9 range. Mm-hmm. So like a typical 4 kW system, 4,000 watt system would run you about $36,000. That same system today would roughly cost you about $12,000.
Wow.
So it's come down quite a bit. So, you know, South Coast Solar has continued to increase our revenues, but at the same time with prices falling. So, you know, I'm pleased with where we are, but pricing has been a big part of the change in the culture, because as the price comes down, more and more people get involved. They want to do it. They see how much savings you can have. Like, for instance, we can sell a $25,000 system can generate an 8 kW size system, and that'll save you roughly about $90 to $100 a month in savings for the next 25 years. So that when you start talking about $100 a month for the next 25 years, that's a big number.
That is. Let me ask you, just because people I know are thinking about this, average size home, how much does it cost to...
And that's the first question that everybody asks us.
And there is no answer?
The answer is it's not based on the size of your home. It's actually based on how much energy you consume. So if you have an average utility bill of $200, you know, all day long, depending on roof space, we can knock off about 50% and upwards of 75, 80, 90% depending on what your goal is.
Wow.
So
yeah. You installing the ones offshore, that would be actually kind of... they must leave with the solar on it, mm-hmm. Huh?
No, I mean, there are certain wells that are out there, especially that are onshore, that still have remote monitoring. There's telemetry devices that are out there that need some sort of battery service to make sure, you know, measure well flow and stuff like that. So
you're an energy renaissance man. That's what you are.
I have to confess, I'm using solar as well on our ranch in Texas. We have it on some water wells.
Yep.
And some monitoring systems for some wells that we have out there.
Here, so, I thought we'd see bloodshed, and this is fun. This is
look, it's about driving reliability and cost at the end of the day. And you know, some of these remote locations that you need battery or you need some monitoring systems or some repeaters. You know, it's better to do it with a solar panel. You know, you know, the big energy consumption comes from a lot of other industries
Isn't most of our imported oil transportation related? Is that kind of where...
It's most of it is transportation related, manufacturing as well. I mean, it's hard to get away from that equation of what the foot pound can produce, you know, with a barrel of oil. So I don't see oil going away anytime soon, even as we have alternatives come into the marketplace and as they get cheaper. I still think consumption of oil, what we've seen globally, is still growing. You know, all the developing nations of the world, their primary resource is going to be hydrocarbon, you know, as they develop, whether it's India or China or any place around the world. So even though we as an industry went through, or as a country went through a recession, you know, after the 2008 banking situation, right, and then what ensued after that and what translated into Greece and, you know, Italy and everywhere else, we didn't see overall macro consumption come in worldwide. It stayed the same, you know, so yeah, of hydrocarbons. So it pretty interesting situation. You had some of the largest developing nations in the world, or developed nations in the world, that use most of the product go into recession. You would think there would be contraction, sure, and there wasn't. So really, really interesting on what we're seeing now as our customers and as the U.S. translates, you know, with the oil price that stayed high, translate into really trying to produce these hydrocarbons and getting that on stream for the country. So it's almost symbiotic,
yeah,
you know, in what's happened over the last 5 years.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question now from our checklist, and this is the part of the show where we take a break and ask you a question you probably wouldn't find on a loan application. So I'm going to ask you both the same question today. And that is, I'll start with Robert. If you could swap places with another person in business for a day, who would it be? Would it be Bill Gates or somebody else, or somebody you'd like to take over their operation for a day?
Not he can't say on radio.
Probably I would say Obama to get rid of Obamacare. But
don't think he doesn't have a ticker symbol. You need a ticker symbol.
No. On a serious note,
it's easy for me.
Oh, okay.
It is very, very easy. I'd like to run either Shell or Chevron for a couple of days so that I can make sure I get all the Hornbeck boats contracted.
Oh, yeah, well. That is. See, you were trying to change the world. Todd's just fixing the balance sheet. That's terrific.
That's a tough question because, you're asking me to step out of my shoes and be somebody else for a day. And, you know, I really enjoy what I do every day. Yeah. I come to work. I'm very excited.
And it seems like you got your hands full. So
we do. And I mean, there's tons of people that are out there that I'd love to be in their shoes. But there's a guy out there, and his name escapes me. But he runs Tesla. He also owns Solar City. He's also doing the rockets to space. God, what is his name?
No, it's
Branson.
Branson would be another good guy to be.
So I thought you were going to say like Chris Owens or something. It's great. Our next part is the pay it forward section. And it's where we ask our guests to generously use their experience and expertise to help an entrepreneur with a new business. And New Orleans has been just such a center for entrepreneurship over the last couple of years. So Todd, Robert, today we're talking about a product you may not have firsthand knowledge of, but I'm sure you've taken a passing interest in it from time to time. And that, of course, is bikinis. There's a company called Nola Bikinis. It's new. It's founded by local clothing designer Michelle Marcom. And Michelle repurposes concert t-shirts, sports t-shirts, and jerseys into swimwear. For example, a Rolling Stones t-shirt or a Saints football jersey becomes a bikini. And we showed you some pictures of these earlier. I think bikinis is sort of the format of the show. It's basically cover the important parts with a minimum amount of material. So this is going to work out fine. You can buy Nola Bikinis online and at swimwear retail outlets, and you can also get one from Nola Bikinis on the Road Mobile Boutique. And for locals, there's, believe it or not, bikini curbside service. It lets you build your own bikini and have it delivered in a sporty convertible. This is getting better and better. Todd and Robert, Michelle would like some advice on marketing. She's been approached by a sports team about becoming a sponsor, but this is expensive for a small business, although it's great exposure. She's wondering if you think a sports team sponsorship would translate into sales, and she's also wondering whether she should concentrate on low overhead portable bikini boutique, or at maybe actually opening a physical bricks and mortar store. What do you think? What advice do you have for Michelle?
I'll tell you from our experience that the internet is the best way to drive your product to market. Over 50% of what we do is all internet based. Google AdWords, Twitter. I mean, social media for us is a very big deal. So that what I would think would be probably your best way to get it out to market would be through your social media outlets.
So less bricks and mortar, more on the internet. And Todd,
well, I'm not in the retail business, have never been, but as Robert and I were talking before the show, I think we would be good judges of the models for the bikinis.
Oh, that is so great.
So that's the first thing she can do is make us judges.
Great, that's going to put her over the
top. The second thing is streamline, make the business strategy very, very simple. I just go back and see what Crocs did. You know, they had a very, very simple model. It was a retail model, and they were able to hit the mainstream and be in a lot of different areas. Focus on, if she's going to be in New Orleans and focus on the branding of New Orleans, then make that her brand. Make Nola her brand. It has a distinct culture here. It's very portable. You have a lot of tourists that come into this town. Get with not just the sports agents and all of the themes of the teams, but the different boutique shops that are here in town. She can set up, you know, and have a little corner in a lot of different boutique shops just to get her name out there. And then I agree, the social media is where it's at, you know, for retail products. So,
and Robert, you mentioned earlier that you thought, in terms of the music, one of the things she does, like Rolling Stones, bikinis, that'd be ways to get into that market. I mean, we just had the big Voodoo Festival, and
you know, and I'm sitting here thinking about it, and you know, one of the things that we have in New Orleans that's so great is a lot of festivals, and maybe work with the Roller Derby Girls, and have them, you know, for like French Quarter Fest. Cruise around in the
Robert,
bikinis.
You're almost too good at this. This might be what you do on a Saturday. <That's not
laughs> I'm just throwing it out there.
The how about a Hornbeck bikini with the little chess piece there?
A calendar. There you go.
Well, anything's possible.
Don Hornbeck.
We're starting our own apparel shop, by the way. You know, and there's another brand out there with a horse on it, and we're going to plan on knocking them out of the box.
Whoa!
You know,
you heard
I don't know
it here
what was their name. I don't remember what it was.
The Polo Offshore Fleet. Todd Hornbeck, Robert Suggs. We've covered bikinis, oil and gas, solar energy, and we've even managed to have lunch. It's been great to have you both on the show today, and I hope to have you back maybe next bikini season. Thanks so much for being a part of Out to Lunch. Thank you, Robert, Todd.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Great guests. My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Todd Hornbeck, Chairman, President, and CEO of Hornbeck Offshore Services, and Robert Suggs, CEO of South Coast Solar. To find out more about Todd's boats and barges or Robert's solar panels and power, follow the links on our websites, wwno.org. and itsneworleans.com. The show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday to Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday with live music, and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer today is Chris Keough. The somewhat misunderstood Jennifer Smith is our researcher. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can get this show as a podcast, you can listen to past shows, and you can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites. It's neworleans.com and wwno.org. Support for Out to Lunch comes from PreSonus Audio Electronics. PreSonus makes Studio One music software, Studio Live digital mixing consoles, Aeris Studio monitors, and more. More information about Baton Rouge-based PreSonus is online at presonus.com. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting and WWNO for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. I look forward to meeting you here again next week on Out to Lunch around the table here at Commander's Palace. Till then, be well, be safe, be happy. Bye-bye.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Louisiana. Additional support comes from Fidelity Homestead Savings Bank and Resource Management, LLC.